Punch. This is a Rocket Punch episode 16?
15? It's definitely not 15. I think we're at 17, honestly.
Really? I'm going to check our fancy new website.
We so many of these, it's just like, you know, just a blur. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
Our latest episode is crappy... New Sonic revealed.
Yeah.
You know, we got over 300 people from the site, like, for a couple days each day.
I know, that's because I was the first person to post on that.
And no
like,
one...
Like, on the whole interwebs.
And no one that clicked on that looked at the site.
Yeah, I guess it was all
like I thank you very much for getting us that kind of
advertisement.
But people are extremely lazy
and don't click on things.
Yeah,
you want me to just advertise it on Dig? I'll do that. But
well,
I'm
didn't
a
we
lazy
already set
man.
Up? Didn't we already set up a Dig?
I guess we did, and I guess people are. We at least got a few people in there. I don't know if I want to...
We got one anonymous comment on episode 14 that it was awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That might just be worth it.
All right.
That might be worth it. I don't know.
I'll do something. Episode 17 of Rocket Punch. I'm Phil D. Monkey. This is my friend Wing Zero.
Yeah, you know who we are. And if you don't, you're going to know.
And this week, we have our stereotypical sitcom plot where we think we can do each other's job.
Yeah, so, I don't know, that just came out of me just being ticked off and being like, I could do a better job.
You wanted
whatever.
To talk about Mushishi.
I wanted
you know
to
what?
Talk about Mushishi, but then I decided, you know what? You know what's better than Mushishi, but it's in basically the same category? Kino's Journey.
Perfect. And I'll be reviewing something that's also an adventure, if you might say.
Oh, yeah, well.
You might say this is a night of adventures.
A night of two adventures.
A night of too many adventures. We got
that's
take care
much better than what I said.
We got to take care of these pirates, but these ninjas are attacking us. And
then
this,
here
and
come
we,
the robots.
Oh God! And here come the nerds. Yeah. It's like, oh man! And we got to put this holy chalice into the volcano before the evil monkey of Sabbath comes to attack us.
Was that the plot of the new Indiana Jones movie? I haven't seen.
No, that was communists.
I would have. Well, if there's communists, that sounds pretty damn.
That
good.
Was Indiana Jones and Shia LaBeouf battling communists.
Did he get to punch Nazis in the face?
There were no Nazis.
Did he get to punch communists in the
yes.
face?
Yes.
Awesome. That's probably that.
But it was just kind of. Other than that, like I don't really. Seem to really care much about that movie enough.
They made it just kind of like because they could, right?
Yeah, and I'll be reviewing Dave the Tentacle.
And you're going to talk about Maniac Mansion?
Yeah,
to a lesser extent, yeah. I don't know. Since we're doing something different, I think we're just going to go with the flow here. I'm going to toss
this
out.
This may be a shorter podcast than usual.
Yeah, maybe. So what did you think of the Avatar finale?
It was fantastic,
I thought it was amazing for like a children's cartoon.
But
honestly,
we really do have to mourn the dead. Sokka's boomerang was sadly lost in the battle.
So, as was the space sword.
Aww.
Goodbye, space sword.
May we always remember you in good times.
In your three episodes of use.
But we're talking about boomerang. No one cares about space sword.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool. It's
made
out of a
meteorite. That Sokka threw the boomerang and Combustion Man, and he died.
That was amazing. Well, did he die or not? The
no,
show
that,
even made
he,
fun
he kinda
of that.
He kind of exploded himself there.
Yeah, that was cool.
So,
very yeah. good ending. Extremely well animated. Closes things pretty well.
And best use of henchmen roles since the Venture Brothers.
I think better use of henchmen, just because it was so out of left field.
It was so out of left field that they would do something out of this much violence to suggest that... Sokka dumped out a whole regiment of random soldiers and other random people on the ship.
Attention, henchmen! You have a very special birthday today! Come
Everyone
down to the
Everyone, come
hold.
To the docking hangar!
It's like, hey, I'm Bill from, from the boiler room.
Oh, hey, I'm Ted from accounting.
Yeah, well, we usually don't see each
no,
other. Yeah.
No,
that's how it went.
I want to get to know you more.
Then this third guy's all like, I can't believe the commander remembered my birthday! And then they just drop a million feet into the ocean, because...
You know what else has
so
you know what else has good henchman dialogue?
Venture
Fist
Brothers.
Of the North Star.
Oh yeah, Fist of the North Star has some of the best. I was watching one of these later ones. I know you're not as far into the series as I am, but Kenshiro and Bart and Lin, they're trying to get over a bridge, and they're like all the henchmen are looking for these guys. It's like, okay, look for like two kids, one's a guy, one's a girl, and this one other dude, and they hide Kenshiro in a like a hay bale, and it's like they have to dress up Bart as a girl. And, like, one of the henchmen sees Bart dressed up as a girl and is like, oh, she's so cute! And he starts blushing and stuff like that. I'm like, I'm like, these henchmen really are the worst of the worst.
Well, henchmen are just, like, a great filler role that you can just make completely idiotic.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you're not gonna... Like, when you introduce a character, the character is either going to stay around for a long time or die off or disappear immediately. That's
well,
how,
especially
like, all...
Fist of the North Star.
Yeah, especially Fist of the North Star. Good stuff, good stuff.
So do we have any news for this week?
News. I got a couple video game things to say, I guess. Recently, a homebrew guy working on Nintendo Wii hacking got a running version of an emulator that will let you run PSP games of all things on the Nintendo Wii. And that just absolutely blows my mind.
That they get another emulator up?
Not even just that. It's the PSP. It's a handheld 128-bit system emulator running on the Nintendo Wii. That from Sony. It's just like crazy talk. You know, if somebody told me that, I'd be like, that's ridiculous. It's not running at full speed. They only got it up to like 7 frames
but
per second
started.
So far.
They're like, yeah. If it's 4 frames per second, it's still better than not having it running at all.
Right, right. And what else? There was a guy who was trying to email Nintendo like 3 weeks in a row about this huge backdoor thing for firmware. He was like, hey, listen, Nintendo, you probably should... You know, keep an eye on this. I found out a way to play burned games without any modding on your system.
Whoa.
Hey, me again.
Did he,
just,
was
emailing
he lying?
You again. Huh?
Was he lying?
No. He the only reason we know about this is because he emailed them 3 times, and then he's like, you know what? Nintendo doesn't seem to care. Here's the source code. Here's the firmware. Do what you want with it.
Really?
Yeah, and the internet's just like, what? Really? And nobody's figured out how to do what he said he did, but it opened the floodgates for like a billion hacking things for the Wii.
So he didn't actually do it based on the source code.
Well, the source code is there. All someone needs to do is modify it enough in order to make it like run off the Twilight hack or something like that. And then Nintendo's basically boned as far as, you know, hacking goes. But I don't know. They sell so many games. Like, does pirating really stop the DS from selling games?
Pirating
no.
does pretty bad things for a lot of industries.
It does.
The
it
anime
does.
Industry in general is actually in a bad way because of fan subbing. Like, you know what's been happening the past few months with some companies.
Right, right, I know how that is, but, you know, it can be in a good way. I mean, like, who would have thought that, I don't know, was there a group subtitling, like, Code Geass or whatever that...
Everyone subtitled Code Geass.
Right, and then Toonami or whatever the hell
Adult
is running.
Swim.
Adult Swim. You know, they saw that people like it and they put it on the TV, right?
I don't think it's a matter of that. I've been
that
doing some research into... how anime gets into Adult Swim nowadays, mm-hmm. and Bandai, especially, who has been bringing a lot of material lately, Eureka 7 and, Code Geass.
Well, Eureka 7 wasn't that bad. It had
I like Eureka 7 a lot. I wouldn't mind talking about it.
I didn't see the whole series, but I thought it was pretty
but
good.
I think they actually pay Adult Swim for them to air it, because, like, in
they
all...
They need advertising.
Like, in all summation, this is more now with Adult Swim comedies... vying for much more than they tend to be. They, like,
I think
Squidbillies can do double the ratings that Death Note could do.
Oh man, I love Squidbillies.
I
so
love
much.
Squidbillies too, and I don't like Death Note that much.
Yeah, not my bag. I watched all the way up till like one major plot point happens. I'm like, well, I've seen enough. I've read enough Death Note to know what the whole deal is. That was fun, and then
and
I just
and
it
was really
it.
Strange because this week I was watching Code Geass. As I've been watching Code Geass, this is the first time I've been watching it, and I really don't like it. It's bad.
I haven't even seen any of it.
It's
and
bad
I don't think
in
I like
a really
it.
Silly way. It's
just not well written.
It's if Brain was a high school student that wanted to take over the world, obviously. But if he was a angsty high school student,
that doesn't sound like a good premise. Whoever came up with that idea, if there's any justice, they're being peed on.
That's terrible.
Right now.
That's terrible.
That's a terrible idea for a show. It's karma, man. Who's
you
gonna
don't,
come up
you
with
don't
that
like
idea?
The Brain from Pinky and the Brain?
I do, but it was because he could play off Pinky. It was funny.
There's no Pinkies in the show. They're all retarded, but they're not funny retarded. They're just sad retarded.
Yeah, not a fan of... of Code Geass at the Rocket Punch podcast.
Before the show was about to start, there was this little bit of dialogue that kind of flew through right between the opening and the start of the episode.
And what was it?
I don't know how to... It's just a little bit of dialogue, and I'll put it up on the podcast once I put this up.
All right, you got any animation stuff to talk about?
There's nothing much to talk about this week other than Comic-Con's happening, and after that there's going to be a lot more news.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought there was going to be a ton of news from E3, and surprise, surprise, nothing happened.
Well, we talked about it for a half hour.
Yeah, I guess it gave us like half a podcast worth of discussion, but hopefully that's not going to be a downer too. Is this usually a huge thing, Comic-Con?
In terms of news?
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that you're aware of?
No.
Well, you will get something from it, I guess.
Like, it would be a much... What I've found this week in terms of news is more of, like, little bits of news briefs. And, of course, Batman the Dark Knight is out. And it's got 150 million.
It's got enough people that have seen it and paid for it. So, they don't need a plug from us. What else I want to say? New Sonic the Hedgehog game, Sonic and the Black Knight. Thoughts? Concerns?
I have no thoughts. I'm basically going to say this straight out. I have no interest towards Sonic anymore.
Sonic does not need a sword.
I have no interest whatsoever. I am entirely bored with people raising their expectations to this high point and then having them pissed on by Sega.
I think what I'll do is I'll put up the flow chart of fan expectations for Sonic the Hedgehog later.
Really? I wanted to put up this nice little picture I screen cap from Day of the Tentacle.
We'll put up two. That's fine.
Okay.
What else? Yeah. I don't know. It could be decent. It's being made by the same people who did Sonic and the Secret Rings, and that's an excellent rental. I would never own it, but it's, like, I guess by Sonic standards, by today's Sonic standards, pretty damn good.
Okay.
You know, but that's not saying a lot. Like, it's an average game instead of being, like, the absolute horror that
the
Sonic 360
game was. Let me ask you something. Do you want to make the next podcast a Sonic the Hedgehog podcast?
We might as well. We talk
because
about it too much anyway.
We talk about it way too much, and we need to get it off our skin.
All right, that's what the next
especially
one's going to be.
Especially you, because, like, you are a little way too excited about Sonic.
I wish I grew up with it. It's like, what if Mario Brothers games, all of them started sucking all of a sudden? And then you're like, man, you remember the old Mario Brothers games? Yeah, those are good. I hope this new one's going to be good. And every time you'd be disappointed, you just kind of hoping and hoping forever.
Well, there's only one Mario game every 5 years, so it's not like I have to expect much. It's going to be a Mario game. He's going to jump around.
Right, right.
He's going to beat Bowser. Maybe the princess is going to get kidnapped.
Right, and there's like one Sonic game, like sometimes two a year now. It's ridiculous.
So,
let me think.
What was I going to say?
What about that Banjo-Kazooie thing for the 360?
Why don't you tell... Wait, maybe I should tell our viewers this. Now, I'm sure, of course, that we have many Nintendo fans among us, including ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all... Obviously, we all played Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie because there was nothing else to play when we had a Nintendo 64.
You had Chameleon Twist.
And you had Wave Race 64. So... We're all aware of this so-called swap and switch that they had.
It's
were
the
trying
stop and swap.
The stop and swap?
Yeah, the stop and
that
swap.
That they were going to make for Banjo-Tooie in order for it to connect to Banjo-Kazooie so that we could get all these hidden extras that were supposedly in the game.
That goddamn ice key. Why can't I get you?
So essentially what Rare has said is that in a recently, when they're... It's going to be on the Xbox 360 Arcade.
Yeah, the Marketplace or whatever the hell they have.
They have basically declared Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie will have that swap-and-switch feature added onto the Xbox 360
now,
Arcade version.
They didn't say that specifically, but they said their statement was you'll be able to get the ice key and the other items that you weren't able to get before. And that leads us to believe that the stop-and-swap feature is going to be in there finally. So,
or something to a similar extent, because like there's a million things you could apply to the Xbox technology.
Right, right, right. I don't know. This is just a big kick to the face to anybody who was ever a Banjo-Kazooie fan.
What has it been? 10 years since Rare had made that game?
I don't know. It had to be 98 or so. It's been
so
a long time.
So it's been
time.
A decade?
Yeah.
When's the last time Rare made a good game?
To a lesser extent, Star Fox Adventures. Well, it's not a good Star Fox game. It's a decent game on its own, right?
And that was 5 years ago.
That was like 5 years ago. And then what do they have? Grabbed by the Ghoulies.
Basically, it's just that they're the quality of their products has been waning since they left Nintendo.
Yeah, Viva Pinata I've heard decent things about, but that's not a game for me.
It's more of a
that's a kid's game.
A lighthearted game.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to think. It's just kind of like, you know, screw you, Banjo-Kazooie fans. Buy our system or buy the game, you know, to get this feature that should have been there for a long time.
Well, maybe we should go into the review. I'll start with my review, so that way we can warm up for yours.
All right, that'll work.
You seem not into it. You seem not...
I don't know. It's just... I watched like 4 episodes of Kino's Journey last night. I should have watched more. I was too busy watching Akagi.
You've been watching Akagi?
I've been watching a lot of Akagi. Even with my non-existent knowledge of Mahjong, I can still watch it.
You really like that show, even despite that?
Yeah, still pretty good.
Because I watched the first episode and it interested me. It just... I thought... Like, I don't really know this game. Is it just going to be me being astounded by these moves that I have
that
no understanding
understand.
Of?
And yeah, that's exactly what it was for me. I'm like, oh my god, he made this guy, like, play this tile he didn't want to play, and he made this guy collapse. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
I thought you were more happy. Didn't we just watch Chowder and Flapjack?
We did. I'm into mental things like that, too.
Okay, so how about we go straight into the Maniac Mansion and Day of the Tentacle review?
Go for it.
Okay. I'm going to actually quickie this because I have no concept of date and time. So, to start out, I'm sure a lot of people know who Tim Schafer is. He most recently made Psychonauts, and he worked on many LucasArts games back in the day that they made adventure games. And adventure games in this form is something that we've never really touched upon on Rocket Punch.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Adventure games don't really come out on systems or
no,
anything anymore.
No, and you're not really... you don't really have as much experience with them as I do.
I played a bit of Zack and Wiki. I played... that's a recent adventure game. Hotel Dusk, was that an adventure game?
Yeah, but although these Trace games Memory. Are... I played these games, but they're much more text-based, right?
Right, totally.
So...
what did I want to say? No, you know what? Go for it.
So, like, I'm not as experienced with anything beyond LucasArts, so if I'm wrong at this, you can totally call me out on it. Now, the first game we're going to talk about is from 1987, called Maniac Mansion. It's an old adventure game, and it's very familiar to its time period, like to things like King's Quest and Quest for Glory, I believe.
I have no idea. That's a huge gray area in my game knowledge, where, you know, you would put... I don't know, sports titles, racing games, obscure puzzle
games. It's
cool.
It's fine.
Extent.
Now, what made Maniac Mansion... Well, what's... Actually, I don't know how popular Maniac Mansion was back in the day.
I don't know. I've heard of it, but until actually showed me what the game was, I had no idea what it was like.
I know it's fairly well-known in adventure game circles, because in comparison to a lot of the games of the time, it's dated itself less. It's more... It's much more adaptable than most adventure games because most of the older ones are a bit more confusing to play. You were having problems with Maniac Mansion. But
well, yeah, it's point and click, but they gave you like 20 like action bubbles on the bottom. I'm like, okay, pick up, you know, open door, walk,
pick up doormat.
I'm like, it's too busy.
Now, the kind of adventure games I'm sure is very unfamiliar to people who play games of this day and age, but basically to go about the concept is that there's no real attack and jump on people. There's no mysterious items. Well, there is mysterious items. But the way you interact with things, it's much more relevant. There's like turn on light, turn off light, use, give, fix, open, close, talk. And it might be familiar if you've played like maybe Phoenix Wright or something like, oh man.
Phoenix Wright is
it's much
messed
different.
Up in that respect. Like he's a prosecutor. Why should he be like searching around crime scenes? He's not a detective. But if he were, that's how it would work. And it does.
The way Maniac Mansion works is that essentially you're a guy named Dave and you and two insert friends here that you can pick from a list of many are going after this Edison Mansion where they've kidnapped his girlfriend, and the Edisons are going to suck her brains out.
Well, you know, right beyond the kidnapped girlfriend storyline, that sounds actually a little bit different. you know, for
is this like
stuff.
Is this like
it sounds
Streets
like
of Rage?
Streets of Rage. It sounds like River City Ransom.
I don't think Bernard could size himself up in Streets of Rage.
Yeah.
Bernard is the nerdy character that you can pick, and he's more relevant because he is the star of the sequel. But in any case, basically, what you have to do in this is rescue your girlfriend in by traversing this mansion, this very large mansion, and finding, well, I don't know how to explain it. There's no...
Basically, what you do is you walk around, you find something that looks interesting or out of place, and then you rub 10 items against it until something happens.
Well, for you, it's a bit more confusing because you don't understand the adventure game logic.
I understand some of it. Like,
for example, if there's a piece of gum with a dime in it, what I'm going to want to do is get some kind of stick object or stick-like object to stick at the object to pick it up with my own hand if the gum is stuck to the floor.
Right, because, you know, adventure games have no logic. You can't just pick
something
up.
And for an example,
normally.
In the Maniac Mansion game, you take a record and you record cassettes. You go downstairs, play the cassette in a different room in order to break a chandelier.
That makes no sense, but that sounds amazing.
Adventure games were much more confusing than this. This is... like, very minimal confusing.
Let's talk about the dialogue a bit for not Maniac Mansion.
Then let's go straight to Day of the Tentacle. That's more of something we wanted to talk about.
That's the better of
like,
the two.
Like, I'm going to say, like, if you're going to try Maniac Mansion, maybe you should try it with Day of the Tentacle, because there's actually a copy of Maniac Mansion in Day of the Tentacle.
So what? It was packaged with the game?
No. There's a computer in Day of the Tentacle where you can play Maniac Mansion.
So that's an extra bonus that they
yeah.
just kind of put in
so
there.
So I would say this is probably more relevant and more meaty to our review because it's a much more interesting game in terms of
everything.
Plot and dialogue and art direction. Because Maniac Mansion is very 8-bit. It's very dated in its time period. It's very, like...
It's not stylized either. It doesn't look as cartoony. It's just, like, looks like 8-bit realistic.
And it's
kind of.
And it's very. There's no music. There's no real story other than that. Other than someone's kidnapped your girlfriend. So, and it's actually like unless you're really big into adventure games, I would say steer away from it.
Yeah, because I was really, really not getting into this game, and I'm usually pretty open-minded, but I don't know, it was stiff controls and stuff, and I know it's kind of weird to say for a point-and-click adventure game, but that's kind of how it felt.
Well, eventually, by the end of the run of LucasArts games, they had perfected the point-and-click style to where it was either nothing more than pressing enter or just right-clicking the mouse and having some three options, like use, talk, look.
Well, yeah, you know, it was easier like that in Monkey Island. I remember I played... It was the fourth Monkey Island game, but that was...
By Monkey Island, it was just, like, walk around with your joystick and click on things.
Yeah, but that's the core of the entire, you know, genre. Click on things and rub something against something else
but
and get a hilarious
it's
conversation.
It's not... Like, the way you see it, I can see... I'm more interested for thinking of how these solutions work, and I'm more... I can solve these more easily, maybe because I grew up with these games.
Well, you saw me trying to figure out the Dropbox thing in Day of the Tentacle. I wanted to put that manual, and I wanted to put that other thing in the Dropbox.
You wanted to put the manual in the suggestion box. So let me tell you about the second game, which is actually a lot more entertaining to hear. So in the second game, Bernard, one of the main characters of Maniac Mansion, is sent a letter one day from Green Tentacle, who... There's actually two tentacle-like monsters in the mansion. One is Green Tentacle, one is Purple Tentacle. And basically he sends a letter saying, we're about to be killed because Purple Tentacle has turned into a mad genius because Dr. Fred has invented something called the Sludge-O-Matic, which developed this toxin to turn him into an evil genius.
And he wasn't evil in the first game at all?
No, he was just kind of... he did attack you. But in any case, Bernard, with his two college roommates, Hoagie.
He's like stereotypical rocker.
Stereotypical rocker, hipster. No, not a hipster.
Hipster, no, he's a rocker. He's
and Laverne, who is this neurotic nurse.
She had like a really stereo, like monotone voice. That kind of threw me off.
And they go off into their car and head off to the mansion, where sure enough, Bernard frees the tentacles accidentally. And so they just, and so Dr. Fred decides, well, you fucked this up.
You've doomed us all.
So we guess we gotta fix this. It's like, how are we gonna fix this if we can't find them? So, we'll go back in time. So it seems as though within the few years that we've left the mansion, Dr. Fred has created a time machine called the...
It's the Chrono something.
It's the Chrono John.
The Chrono John, yeah. It looks like a porta potty.
Basically, green porta potties.
Green porta potty.
Run by a blue car.
How awesome is that?
And so he sends them all to random points in time, which is supposed to be yesterday, but through some malfunction of his machine, they're all sent into different periods of time. Bernard sent into the present. Hoagie sent 200 years in the past, which would make this 1776. And Laverne is sent 200 years into the future, making it 2,226. 2,206?
Ah, who cares? Doesn't really matter.
98.
Dude, why are you stuck on this? Who cares what time
okay,
it is?
Okay, so in any case, the point being is that now you have to get back to the present. Back
to
the future.
Back to the future, yeah.
As they might say, or back to the present.
Something's got to be done about your kids.
So, basically what makes this game so much funner is that, first of all, the design of the interaction system is a lot more streamlined. It's gone from 20 commands to 9 commands, and you only need about 5 of these to really play the game. Plus, there's shortcuts on the keyboard, and it's a lot more helpful if you're...
I don't know, I thought with the mouse it was easy enough, but you were getting kind of ticked off at your... I mean, you were like, use the quick keys, you're not going quick enough.
Well, I'm used to using the keyboard, you're used to using the mouse.
That and you've played the game, like, how many times?
I've been playing the game since... This is a nostalgia game for me, basically.
Yeah, so if you've played it so many times, I can understand, you know, me kind of struggling through it.
Now, a lot of the fun in the game, like, well, there's a lot more silliness in this one. Like, there's a puzzle where you have to push an old lady down the stairs, which Well, actually, you did get to it.
I pushed her, but she just, like, rubber banded herself back to where she was.
So you know what you do?
What?
Well, I'm going to spell this out for our viewers, listeners.
It's not even that far into the game.
So, basically, back in time, Hoagie has to acquire a left-handed hammer, switches with the right-handed hammer, to switch these two twins who are left and right-handed, so that she can't grasp the original statue. Yeah, it's strange.
That's hilarious.
And there's also stranger things, like, one of the puzzles is to change the flag of the United States of America.
What do you change it into?
You change it into a tentacle.
Oh, man, that sounds cool.
And basically all the options you're given before that, what do you want to change about the flag this time? We need a babe swinging a broad axe. Just put it on.
I don't know. I like these games because of the dialogue. The way they were making it is they would be programming the game and
can only apply to Monkey Island.
They don't do it that way?
The other versions. Only with the original Monkey Island.
Only with the original Monkey Island. I don't know. Then the dialogue is really, really funny and I don't know. I like it. It's just good damn writing.
Because there's a moment where you can actually talk with a mummy.
Oh, yeah. You can talk to a mummy. It's like, hey, it's a nice hat you got there, Mommy. Can I get one of those hats? Do they make them in my size? Man, you sure don't talk a lot. And it just keeps on going on and on like that.
And
it's
a
just
lot
wacky
of,
conversations.
There's a lot of also sillier things. When you're back in time, for example, they are making the Declaration of Independence in the mansion.
Right.
So basically a lot of the puzzles revolve around making new amendments and basically stealing from the Founding Fathers.
Yeah, we made it so that, like, we made the amendment where every home has to have a vacuum cleaner in the basement. That's the, like, 12th Amendment.
And just little things that you can change about everyone's time, which is just really fun to see, especially the first timer.
Especially
the 10th time around. Oh, no, it's all necessary.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess it's just like an illusion of choice since it's so crazy. I thought it was really affecting things.
You see, this is why I like Chrono Trigger, because I like Day of the Tentacle.
Okay, yeah,
but
works.
I'm not going into anything about that.
We already talked enough about that.
So what else is there to talk about? The puzzles are like about as silly as the dialogue, I'd say.
Like they're not impossible, but they're just like you might completely miss them if you're not thinking abstractly.
Like you have to think as silly as the game is thinking. Like if The game is saying John Hancock wrote his signature so big because he thought it would get him the chicks. Then you have to think in that way.
Right, but that's why I totally thought I could put the giant book in the Dropbox. It's a bunch of pieces
of
paper.
It's too small. He doesn't realize he has to, like, hack it up. There's no reason for it. They always bring up hints for this. Really blunt hints.
Did they ever make another sequel to Day of the Tentacle, or is this
no.
where it stopped?
This is where it stopped.
So what other stuff has LucasArts done? They did the Monkey Island stuff.
They did all four Monkey Island games.
And then Schaefer worked on Full Throttle. And
there's also Ron Gilbert who worked on a few of them, but I'm not as aware of his influence just because I haven't researched his name enough. I know he has a blog, which I've completely forgotten the name of.
I don't know. Day of the Tentacle is very different. I mean, that seems like a game I would actually enjoy because it's so... It's completely different
They're,
than what's coming
LucasArts
out.
Most LucasArts games from the 90s are just as cartoony as Day of the Tentacle and stylized. Like, to describe the art style, well, Maniac Mansion had this very 8-bit art style going for it. Day of the Tentacle had this very cartoonish style. The backgrounds looked like Looney Tunes cartoons.
If you played Sam and Max Hit the Road, you know, it's a lot like that. I think it was made under the same program, wasn't it? It was under the Scum thing?
It's all under the Scum program. Which actually, I have to say, if you are interested in finding a copy of a game, you will need a program called ScumVM, which you can look up online, in order to play it, just on account of it's a DOS program formerly. And now with these crazy new technology, we really can't play it on these computers without assistance from a program like this.
I don't know if Home of the Underdogs still has it, but that's a giant adventure game website that gives out this kind of stuff legally for free. So if you can, Home of the Underdogs
like the,
is still up,
like from the companies that have closed down, right?
Right. If they're distributing it, go ahead, go to Home of the Underdogs.
So I remember,
download yourself some Day of the Tentacle.
So I remember that no, Day of the Tentacle, they still sell that. LucasArts still sells all their games.
Well, whatever. We'll
on their
see
site.
What you can find, I guess.
And actually, I would say get the Duckman game. That was pretty fun.
The Duckman? Oh yeah, that was by them.
That was
too.
A fun tour. No, it's not from LucasArts.
Well, it's under the Scum thing, wasn't it?
Well, it's the same kind of system. But I'm just saying it's a fun game of that caliber.
Yeah, they don't make them like this anymore. I want to say they're still making adventure games. Like I said,
it's
made
a much
Zach
smaller market than it used to be.
Yeah, like I remember Zack and Wiki didn't sell like a million copies, and like Capcom was really depressed
and
about that.
And most of
that.
Them are very serious. They're much more for adult audiences, like... Siberia, I believe, is one of them.
I wouldn't know.
When you've heard of The Longest Journey, right?
I've heard of it. I've seen it for sale at a couple of places every time I'm looking for Shadow of
really?
Destiny.
Which is actually, in a way, an adventure game.
Yeah, Shadow of Destiny is kind of an adventure game, I
okay.
guess.
Okay. So, adventure games. I like them. Wing Zero has no experience in them.
I have experience with adventure games. Let's say that. I've played Hotel Dusk. I've played
not the genre
of
adventure games that I'm talking about.
I played like half of Sam and Max Hit the Road. That's something, right?
Did you get the rope?
Huh?
Did you get the rope yet?
I didn't get the rope yet. I got to where they're at the fish farm, and they get into the giant fish, and then they're carried away by the helicopter.
That's the rope.
Then that was exactly.
You have to use Max to clip the rope.
Oh, man.
You have to use your little anthropomorphic animal friend.
Who is possibly the greatest video game character ever.
To bite a large piece out of the world's biggest ball of twine.
You know what? That's another thing. They're still making Sam & Max games, aren't they?
Well, they just started that a couple years ago with the new episodic Sam & Max, and it's a lot of the same people from LucasArts.
So it can't be that bad then, right?
They're pretty good.
Maybe a small adventure game revival might be happening. Who knows? But
I'd say it's more of the episodic content of Sam & Max that's going to be more applied to the industry.
Well, that's, I don't know, you would think with all the point-and-clicking stuff you do on the Wii that there would be tons of adventure games on there.
There's a Strong Bad game coming out in August for the Wii.
Oh, yeah, Strong Bad's game for attractive people?
Yeah, and it's from the same people who are doing the new 7 Max games.
Oh, wow, that actually sounds pretty good, then.
Okay, so shall we move on to Kino's Journey?
Wow, Kino's Journey. I should have talked about this one a long time ago. This
would
is one
you
of my
like
absolute
to give a
animes.
Like... If you could give a one-sentence synopsis of what Kino's Journey is about...
Philosophy.
That's a word. I said a sentence.
You said... Oh, a sentence? let's see, sentence that does Kino's
Kino's journey is about a young girl named Kino who goes on adventures with her talking motorcycle named Hermes into various mysterious countries.
Right, it's basically like Kino is a traveler, and she will stay at any one country no more than 3 days, because if she stayed longer, she might get involved in a country's things, and she says, you know, that, you know, 3 days is enough to get a feel for any one country. And she's a traveler, so she's trying to see how people live their lives and, you know, just what's going on in the world. And each episode she'll stay at a country, and each episode and country has a theme. Like, the first episode is the episode where you find out that there was an entire country that their scientists, they created a serum that would let everybody read each other's minds, and they thought that if everybody knew how everybody else felt, everybody could get along better, and that just, like, destroyed everything.
Is that the one for all the robots?
I remember the town was empty except for the robots, I guess. Yeah, like, what was the theme of that one?
It's was just that, like, the 1984 one? That was the one that was, like, all the people went to work and all the people...
No, that was... I'm talking about the first episode. Yeah, you're talking about...
I'm talking about another episode.
That's Men on the Rails. That's okay. The one where Aquino's driving on the train tracks and she sees all the three old men working, and she tells the story about the country of work.
Okay, I remember that one.
And, like, the philosophy of that episode was... There was two. One was like, what was it? It's hard to grasp some of these
things.
It's
fine. It's like, it's a really good show to watch, just on account of it's very, every episode is very, like, meaningful in terms of.
You can tell I'm stumbling on this just because there's so much thought going through my head. This series really, really does make you think. Let me talk about the animation. I guess it would be, I want to say minimalist.
It's minimalist, but it's a very nice art style.
It's clean.
Like, the animation is fairly average.
They put it through this weird filter with horizontal lines, and I know a lot of people complain about that, but I don't think it detracts anything away from the series. What do you think about it?
I like the art style.
It's almost like an afterthought.
I don't mind the art. I like the art style a lot of Kino's Journey.
I don't know if any of you are familiar with the series or anything like that at all, but... they kind of designed the characters where they're their faces are very, they're not detailed really all that much.
Oh,
they're
no.
Very rounded. Like Kino's face looks extremely circular in certain spots when they're not showing her face from the side. Later, I think it was a completely different art style was used for. They did an OVA for like another one of the chapters
movies.
For book 5. I don't know. The first OVA was done by the same people who did the series, and then the second one was done by a different animation
really?
Studio. Yeah, you didn't notice?
I haven't watched the second one yet. I've seen the first one.
I brought it over. Maybe we can watch it later. But I think like Kino's character looks a lot more like to source material on the series. Oh man, this is a good series. Music, it's just background music. There's nothing wrong with it.
It's ambience.
It's just like calm music. There's nothing that's going to really stick out. Man, what do I want to say about the series? There's too much to cover. Like, every episode has something
there's
that blows
episodes,
your mind.
There's 13 episodes, right?
Huh?
There's only 13 episodes.
There's the pilot episode that they aired before the series came out that got them to go to make the series. Then there's the first OVA, which explains more of her story, and then there's the second one, which is done by a different animation studio called The Country of Illness, where Kino goes to a town that's like covered in like a bubble.
Okay.
And like everyone's like afraid of disease
and stuff like that. Don't tell me too much.
No, that's the main idea of the movie.
Okay.
There's tons of plot twists, so I'm not going to spoil the whole thing for you. Man, good series.
It's very thoughtful. It's going to...
You go into an episode and it's just like almost like reading a really good book. You're just like watching and you come out of the episode, you know, with something, some kind of moral, some kind of lesson. And I know that sounds kind of boring. Maybe it's too slow for all you
for some people
fans
it could be very
like
slow
that.
I definitely say this isn't a show for everyone, but it's a show for everyone else who is awesome. And if you were not awesome, we will find you and make you watch this show.
I don't know. If you've seen Mushishi, it's a lot like that. It's not more... it doesn't have, like, a continuing story, really. It's episodic, and each episode has a story. It's not about, like, the resolution of the series. When you get to the end of it, it's like, okay, that was the end. That was nice, but,
well, aren't,
you know,
the books still ongoing?
They are. There's 11 books in Japan, and each one just has a different theme. The, what do I want to say? The creator of the series was influenced a lot by planets. Have you
Planet
ever seen...
S?
Huh?
Is that the sci-fi anime?
Yeah, that was about the girl who went to all the different planets and all, you know.
Planet Tess?
I think that's the one. Didn't she have, like, the blonde hair and the...
I've only read a few chapters of the manga.
I don't know. It's a lot like that. What else do I want to say about it? Like you say, like I can say I'm all over the place on it. I don't know what to say about it.
It's good.
Like it a lot. It's calm. It's a good series just to watch if you're bored. It'll make you think like crazy, which I love. I like. I went back at Kino's Journey, and I was watching early that I've seen like probably like 5 times the whole series, and then I still walk away with more things than I saw from the first 5 times. You know, I'm picking up stuff that I didn't realize before.
It's a very detailed anime. It's a very... They kept a lot of details from the book, or maybe perhaps they added in a lot of details that were much more relevant by adding them in.
I don't know. A lot of it's like... It makes you question the fundamental like basics of humanity and like different...
It's philosophical.
Yeah, it's philosophical and moral. You know, that's the whole entire main thing. There's not much action. It's more like, hey, you know, I'm Kino. Here's your country. Oh, your country, it was taken down by democracy. People didn't get along. Well, that's the lesson that you're going to, like, walk away from it. And it's just done really well. It's not, like, the best anime ever, but it's so different from what else is out there. It's not, like, action-based. You know, it's not like that. Like, it's,
well,
again,
what are
gonna,
shows that are out there that are,
that
like, the average shows?
To? Like, oh, what the average shows? Like, you look at shonen stuff where it's all just fighting, and it's,
and then
like,
there's the average action show that comes out every year.
Like, what's an average action show that just
like,
came out?
Like, that just came out? I don't know anything that just came out, but
I don't
know.
It's not Bleach. It's not your
Naruto
stuff.
It's not a Gonzo show.
Huh?
It's not a Gonzo show.
It's not a Gonzo show?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
That did, what is it? That vampire cartoon they showed on Cartoon Network.
Oh, what was it? Was that Blood the Last Vampire or something like that?
Well, that's an example of an average show, but...
Yeah, this is highly above average.
Yeah.
If you really like books, and you don't usually get into anime, and you're just kind of like here for the animation thing...
Then why are you into this podcast?
Yeah, honestly. But what was I going to say? If you like books, and you like, and you think you might like Kino's Journey... just because it wants to make you think. The first volume, the first actual book was released a few years ago under Tokyopop's license, and they it got a lot of good reviews from what I heard. I liked it.
But they haven't been releasing any others?
No, because they're in a gigantic licensing dispute. I was
really
so angry. Like, every month I'd be like, at Barnes & Noble, is the new Kino's Journey book out?
No, Wing Zero.
Sorry, it's been pushed back another month. Oh, sorry, it's been pushed back 6 months. It was supposed... The last I checked, it was supposed to come out within, like, a week of when Brawl came out. And I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be the best week of my life. Kino's Journey
books,
Volume 2.
Playing video games.
And Super Smash Bros. Brawl. I'm like, God
damn it. Are you
going
to be walking with your, like, your chain of books and Brawl that day?
No, it would have been like, hey, I'm going to just play Super Smash Bros. Brawl all day, and then before I go to sleep, 2 hours of Kino's Journey.
Yeah.
That would have been like sensory overload for me being happy about things.
Well, you did win the tournament that day. You did
win. Yeah, I totally smashed those guys at the game.
Shut up!
Tournament.
Don't you ever make that pun again.
That wasn't on purpose either. I destroyed them.
Let's end the Kino's Journey podcast because you're going
I know
off.
I go on a bajillion tangents. Listen, if you want something different, you don't want to watch an anime about like crazy fighting, which is good in small bursts, and you want to think about some stuff, and I don't know, get into an anime that you might come back to again and again. In the long run, Kino's Journey is an excellent anime. I recommend the book, the series, all of it. It's just really, really good.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
So,
anything else you want to add to that?
I said it's good. What am I supposed to say?
I don't know.
So, next week.
Next week, Sonic the Hedgehog.
All the cartoons.
And all the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoons.
All the anime. Well, not all the anime. I don't want to watch Sonic X.
Huh? No, we're not going to talk about... We got to watch the badly dubbed English Sonic the Hedgehog OVA that they released on VHS.
Are you talking about the one where he sounds like he's a hick?
Yeah, yeah.
I love that one.
That one is so bad, but it's good because it's bad.
Is that the one where he's supposed to show the middle finger, but he's just showing his index finger up?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. It's like what they did was they got two episodes of a series that they were supposed to make, and then they're like, you know what? This series isn't going to work out. Let's just smash them together into a movie.
And we're also going to
charge you $30.
We're also
going to
be given a very introspective discussion on the life of John Long Baldry, musician and voice of Dr. Ivo Robotnik.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He died recently, didn't he?
He died a few years ago. I'm joking.
Hmm?
I'm obviously not saying too soon, but I'm obviously being sarcastic.
Sarcasm just goes right over me. I have no way to detect that stuff.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. So this has been Rocket Punch for this week. What is this week, the 25th?
Yeah, I guess. 25th or something. Send us some emails. We need things to talk about.
We're talking about things.
Yeah, talking about Kino's Journey, how much that kicks ass.
Well, maybe it's just Maniac Mansion was so dull.
It wasn't dull. Maniac Mansion, yeah. Day of the Tentacles was the second one,
actually,
right?
I just beat Maniac Mansion today, because I had always played it a million times, but I'd always gotten locked in a dungeon or killed by one of the tentacles.
Yeah, you can't die in the second one.
And today, what I found out is that if you keep a water valve off for long enough, the mansion explodes from a nuclear reactor. And I'm like, yes, take that, Dr. Fred. And it just it just ends.
Phil, you can't go doing that. You'll change the future.
No. And you can also turn off the power.
You created a time paradox.
You can also turn off the power in the basement and do the same thing. And there's also a red button, which it's like, I wonder what this red button does.
That button is red, you'll destroy us all.
And it was the best thing. I just paused and like, I won!
I've defeated the mansion, but I died in the process. I don't know, that game actually sounds a lot better now that you're talking about it. It's probably a better game to maybe watch on YouTube or something. Maybe
Maniac
if there's
mansion.
A walkthrough or something. Not as fun to play, but probably better to watch and
True.
Listen to. You know, Day of the Tentacle was a lot more fun to actually play and figure out puzzles and stuff. Yeah,
okay.
So start playing your Maniac Mansion and pick up Kino's Journey if you can. Kino's Journey, you can probably pick up the entire series for like $30. Me, I bought each DVD for $30 and spent
and
like $120
dude,
bucks with
are
all
you
series.
Happy with it?
I am 100%. I would pay $120 again for that whole series.
Then it's good.
Yeah, considering how much of a cheapskate I am, that's like the biggest recommendation I can give.
You know what's happening on Monday?
Hmm? What? You know, I don't know. Monday?
On Sci-Fi Channel, Tengatopa Gurren Lagann is airing.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
On Sci-Fi, of all places?
Yeah.
Not, like, a better mainstream channel?
It's
like,
Sci-Fi. They air,
They aired the Fatal Fury movie.
They aired Blackjack. That was a pretty good show.
Yeah, Blackjack isn't bad.
You've never seen Blackjack.
Yeah, I've seen Harlock. I don't know why I'm bringing that up, but
well,
because
they both have
Blackjack.
Big scars, and they both have a lot of hair.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this has been Rocket Punch.
Signing off for the week.